What is the outcome of weeks, months, and years on semen retention? Energy. A surplus of energy that is converted to bloods, tissues, organs, nerves, and every other molecule of matter that makes up your organism. A human's appearance and physical condition is much the result of his body's available energy. When you retain your procreative energies, you are freeing up energetic resources. Physically, your body has more access to these resources to replenish the nerves, organs, and lymphatic systems, repair and grow musculature, nourish depleted energy stores, and overall strengthen the immune system. On a mental level, your brain is given access to immense energy for its optimal maintenance and functioning. The afforded energy gives your brain the ability to pick up on much subtler signals your nervous system is sending it, and picking up on the subtler details of life is what increases your intellectual capacity. Intellectual capacity is hugely boosted. This has been claimed by some of the greats of history, quoting Isaac Newton. It is important to know that there are other uses for the procreative elements than the generation of physical offspring. Far better uses than its waste in momentary pleasure. The elements, when retained in the system, may be coined into new thoughts, perhaps new inventions, grand conceptions of the true, the beautiful, the useful, or into fresh emotions of joy and impulses of kindness and blessing to all around. This is, in fact, but another department of procreation. It is the procreation of thoughts, ideas, feelings of goodwill, intuitions of truth, that is, it is procreation on the mental and spiritual planes, instead of physical. It is just as really a part of the generative function as is the begetting of physical offspring. It is by far the greater part, for physical procreation can ordinarily be participated in but seldom, while mental and spiritual procreation may and should go on through all our earthly lives, through all our immortal existence. The effects of sexual restraint on societies was thoroughly investigated and studied in the 1930s by Oxford anthropologist J.D. Unwin, who conducted deep research on 86 civilizations through 5,000 years of history and arrived at the conclusion that within societies, an increase in sexual restraint led to higher development and flourishing of the culture. He noted that societies with the strictest form of sexual restraint displayed greatest expansive social energy, whereas societies that had no limitations on sexual activity lacked social energy, did not erect huts or buildings, did not wage wars or seek colonial expansion, and in most cases, such societies collapsed within three generations. In the almost 700 pages of his published research, Unwin included some very pertinent findings and conclusions to the relationship between sexual restraint and productive energy in societies. Among the accomplishments of extremely energetic societies are territorial expansion, conquest, colonization, and the foundation of a widely flung commerce. All these things and their like are manifestations of what I call expansive social energy. A society which displays productive social energy develops the resources of its habitat and, by increasing its knowledge of the material universe, bends nature to its will. All such accomplishments as these imply the previous exertion of thought and reflection, these being necessary precursors to all human achievements. Bends nature to its will. What an apt description of the powers of restraint. From sexual energy conservation, you gain an increase in social and mental energy. This energy equates to power, and power is what allows one to express their will to a greater degree in the physical universe, to manifest one's will out into the physical world. Unwin's work highlighted something about the sexual nature that has been discussed at large by authors and in religious doctrine throughout history. That is, that preserved sexual energy is diverted into other channels of energetic output and thus refines the human qualities and greatly improves one's energetic output. As Unwin writes, any human society is free to choose either to display great energy or to enjoy sexual freedom. The evidence is that it cannot do both for more than one generation. In the records of history, indeed, there is no example of a society displaying great energy for any appreciable period unless it has been absolutely monogamous. Moreover, I do not know of a case in which an absolutely monogamous society has failed to display great energy. In the past, different societies have risen up in different parts of the earth, flourished greatly, and then declined. In every case, the society started its historical career in a state of absolute monogamy, manifested great energy while it preserved its austere regulations, and relaxed after a less rigorous tradition had been inherited by a complete new generation. Unwin's findings on sexual restraint backs up with field research and evidence the teachings of the ancient philosophers, Pythagoras, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and so on, that the restraint of the procreative faculties is beneficial for the organism, and that excess in sexual activity leads to degradation. Unwin's findings displayed on a societal level what many of the ancient teachings expressed on an individual level. In ancient Greece, Olympians were known for their strict adherence to celibacy for increased power and performance. Heroic Greek athletes were often known for their feats of celibacy as well as their triumphant races and matches. Icos of Tarentum, who won the Olympic pentathlon in 472 and afterward established himself as a coach, was commended by Plato for his sexual abstinence. Boxers before a bout will often refrain from sexual activities. This has been mentioned by the modern greats, Tyson, Mayweather, Ali. In the writings of Ali, there's a kid just come down here named Cassius Clay. If you bet on him every time he fights, you'll be a rich man, because he won't lose a single fight. I believe his thing is sexual control, and he's got it. Any kid who can control it can with the title, I believe it. With such research as Unwin's work finding the connection between sexual restraint and development of productive energy, it would be well to look conversely at any work highlighting the effects of the opposite, that is to say, the overuse of the procreative faculties and whatever results occur from it. 20 years before Unwin's findings, renowned British psychiatrist Charles Mercier, a leading expert on forensic psychiatry and insanity, wrote the following on the subject of sexual excess. With each reproductive act, the bodily energy is diminished. The capacity for exertion is lessened. The languor and lassitude that follow indicate the strain that has been put upon the forces of the body. Any drain upon the energies of the body is a drain on the nervous system, whose highest regions will, on the general grounds already familiar, be the first and most affected. Mercier draws the lines connecting excessive sexual frequency to mental disturbance and nervous system degradation, where Unwin draws the lines between sexual restraint and abundance in energy among societies practicing sexual restraint. Two renowned professionals in their own fields at different points in time reaching the same conclusions regarding restraint and excess. As Unwin explains, inherent within our organism is the ability to refine and enrich. When the energies are available, great development takes place. The temples of grass mud huts became erected stone monuments. From the Roman basilica, Gothic architecture emerged, and in time such buildings as Amiens Cathedral were constructed. The English aristocracy was also very energetic in the 18th century, producing highly refined architecture, the Palladian neoclassical, and Regency styles of architecture flourished, displaying the beauty of human energy, refinement, and achievement. Contrast these classic works of art to today. The modern buildings we see in the post-sexual revolution world we live in today. The skyscraper buildings of today are for the larger part dull, colourless, uninspiring, perhaps even soulless. The modern cities of our world at large do not practice restraint. More than you may wish to realize, our current cities are a reflection of our current selves, of our energy and our mind state. This is essentially what Unwin's work most poignantly conveys, that the conservation of the procreative energies expands past the individual human into society, into culture, and into everything that is an extension of the human. The world is a reflection of ourselves. This profound effect you are having on the world by conserving these energies within your body. The energy of the universe can be felt strongly on retention. You tend to feel it in the pit of your stomach, sometimes in the feet. The buzz of energy to get things done, to think deeper about things, to sense the subtleties in the air. To the man that retains his seed, he carries the charm of naturalness. People can see your connection to life. The more energy, the more life. The purity of mind, the cleanliness of thought. Your moral fibers often carry unseen connections to the physical fibers. Our intuitive faculties pick up on these aspects quite clearly when interacting with others. These are feelings that we never consciously consider when meeting others, but they add towards our initial impressions of people. This person has something attractive, something magnetic about him. Or this person has something off, something creepy about them. The solitary vice does not go by unnoticed. If you have been bathing your mind in lewd, perverted thoughts, it will be evident in your eyes, in your face, in your body, and in your aura. One may not directly know of your practicing of the vice, but they will sense something, an unnaturalness, degradation, something unsettling. Your body is a window to your thoughts. In the words of Walt Whitman, "I swear to you that body of yours gives proportions to your soul, somehow to live in other spheres. If anything is sacred, the human body is sacred. And the glory and sweet of a man is the token of manhood untainted. I do not know how, but I know it is so. The body and the soul are one, and in the latter, the former is immortal." The findings of Unwin bring us to an inevitable conclusion on the subject of sexual restraint. That is, that engagement in sexual energy will come at the cost to the social and mental energies of the society and thus to the individual being. If one wishes to excel in the areas of the mental, social, and physical realms, then it must come at the cost of sexual energy. If one wishes to satisfy their carnal desires, then it must come at the cost of the other sources of energy. It seems we can't have them all. The distribution of this energy is in your hands. With this knowledge, you can make the best choice on how to proceed. How will you proceed?